Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Your word is our light and our salvation. Your word is our strength and our shield. Your word is our correction and our protection. By your word, we are warmed. By your word, we are warned. By your word, we live and we move and we have our being. So God, for all of us here that are in different places in our lives, may the wisdom of your word change us for the better. We know without your word, we are reckless. But by the power of your word, the simple is made wise. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. By the promise of your word, we stand that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide us. Rhema words, logos words, confirmations tonight. May they all be upon us by the power of your love. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. I must needs remind you all again that the book of Proverbs is a very, very difficult book to teach. It's even harder to study. Reason being is we're about to look at 25 verses. But every single one of these verses is a Bible study in and of itself. I could take each one out and spend a whole hour on it and still barely scratch the surface. So we, a couple weeks ago when I was here, before I went on vacation, we put the chairs in a circle and we had a talk, a round table. Let's see how tonight goes like this. And if not, we'll go back next week to that layout. Trying to explain one by one. Maybe I'll call on you. Maybe you've got a thought. Please, this is kind of a Wednesday night open forum type of thing here. I want the wisdom of the word to go out. But, and this is a big, big but, because of the wisdom of the word that is so pure, you have the tendency to receive it or reject it. Now, why would anybody reject the word? Well, it's very simple. Because it's saying something that you are doing wrong. And what's going to happen as we read this wisdom of the word? I'm going to say, verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Well, goodness sakes, who here hasn't broke that one? Each one of us. So what's our propensity? We might have the propensity to just go, well, if he's going to just put me down all night, he's just going to shine a spotlight on me. I remember, I don't know if you guys remember, in the old days, well, for you guys that were there, when pastor used to teach the word, when you first start going to church, you called him and told him, didn't you? I remember, I'd be looking through my wife's email. She's got to be emailing this guy, telling him. Because every time I go to church, the word would burn through me. I was, oh my goodness. The prophecy that was going on, the conviction, the correction, the reproof, the instruction. And that's what's going to happen tonight. So you could either pick out some to receive, or you could shut down completely, which is what a lot of people do, especially if you're new and you're not used to the conviction of the word. I've told the story one time years ago. I used to play on a softball team going back more than 20 years. And there was a guy on the team. His name was Kevin something or other. Remember Kevin's name? Some Irish guy. Kevin Sullivan. That's a good Irish. It's a good Irish name. And one time he shows up, and now I'm brand new in the Lord. Brand new in the Lord. I mean, I ain't been walking with the Lord a couple of months. And he has this book called, it was called Grace. Chuck Smith's commentary on Grace? Not Why Grace Changes Everything. It's his commentary on the book of Romans called Gospel According to Grace. Who said that? Check for you. The Gospel According to Grace. It's a study on the book of Romans. So what happens is he goes, hey, Ryan, I've been reading this book, man, and it's really good. I know you're new to Christianity. Would you like to read it? I was like, well, I just, not really a big reader, you know what I mean? Reading's not my thing. Why would I read it if I could watch TV, you know what I mean? Is there a movie on this book? No, there's not a movie on this book. So he gives me the book and he explains to me how you read the chapter in the Bible and then you study the Bible with, and it's a commentary. It's like, oh, I've never heard of a commentary. That's good because I read the Bible now and I don't understand a word I'm reading. Excuse me. So I get the book, I start reading it, and I notice in every chapter he has these things highlighted. And I remember, now, again, I'm a young Christian, and I remember thinking to myself, this guy looks at me like he knows me. He highlights stuff in this book that's like for months I hated this guy because he gave me a book, he highlighted stuff in it, and he was like you're perfect? Like, you're perfect, you're giving me a book with things highlighted in it that's just for me. Listen, that's a true story. Now, that's what's going to happen. You just punched him, didn't you? Did Oscar deserve to be punched, Eugene? Oscar, why did he hit you?
He must have gave my highlighted book.
Did that happen to you or something? Is that why you did that? Or he did that to you? So it's the craziest thing. That I actually believe that this guy, Kevin Sullivan, was like trying to convict me or whatever. Now, when you read the 13th chapter of the book of Proverbs with me, you're going to see, and you have the opportunity. You can get mad and go, oh, Ryan's talking to me. Somebody told him or he. No, nothing like that. You would be, I love when Pastor Bob used to say, you'd be surprised how little people think about you. Chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction. My son's not here, is he? Doggone it. But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Now remember, stylistically speaking, because we're reading poetry, it's a wisdom book of poetry, sometimes the first and the second part of the verse will accentuate. Sometimes it will be opposite. Sometimes it's a mirror. Sometimes it's a window. It's a really weird, beautiful stylistically speaking. You want to do something fun? Try to write some proverbs yourself. Watch how difficult they are. I love the proverb that Pastor Chuck wrote. Pastor Chuck wrote a proverb. He wrote, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. I like that one. Right? Pastor Chuck wrote that. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, why speak and be thought of a fool when you could open your mouth and remove all the doubt? So a wise son will listen to what his father says, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. So he kind of goes to the opposite end of it. There's some kids that don't listen to their father, but some kids think their father's a total idiot. Now, we could apply that word for father there to being God, or just simply, you might be a son here, and you think your father's a total idiot, especially if you're in that area, anywhere between, I'd say, 13 and 38. A scoffer. Hey, you know, son, you should... Are you scoffing at me? Verse 2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. What would the fruit of the mouth be? What would the fruit of the mouth be? Anybody? Huh? Well, think about what the fruit of the mouth would be. If when you speak, you turn people off and they run from you, the fruit of your mouth will be loneliness. If you're a salesperson and you're trying to sell somebody something, and hopefully you do this in a decent manner, you're selling an air conditioner. You know, if you put a 3-ton unit in here, it's probably enough. If you put a 4-ton, it's going to be too much. You put a 2-ton, it's not going to be enough. There's cheap 3-ton units. Let me do that for you. The fruit of that, you're a good salesperson, you're an honest salesperson, you get the job, and you will eat well by the fruit of your mouth. You will eat well by the fruit of your mouth, or you won't eat at all by the fruit of your mouth. You guys see that? But the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Now, there was a point in time where that really convicted me, because I thought to myself, man, all I do is watch boxing. There was a time where I watched every boxing match, and I read that. I was like, man, maybe I should stop watching boxing. But that's not what it means. It's not watching sport. It's the violence of your own words. The soul of your own words is violence. And if you're feeding on that, that will be the fruit of your mouth as well. Really weird. Really weird way to put it. But you know what's crazy about somebody amen this if what I'm saying is it. I understand some things that I'm reading, but I can't verbalize them. It happens so much when I read the Proverbs. Like, what does that mean? I know what it means. Well, tell me. I can't verbalize it, but I know what it means. Then how could you know what it means, but not? It's like when you talk to somebody who speaks, like I have Paulo who speaks, he speaks perfect Portuguese and good Spanish. I speak poor Spanish and barely any English. When I talk to him, though, I'll ask him how to say something, and he'll go, I don't know how to say that. And I go, what do you mean you don't know how to say it? You know what it means? I know what it means, but I don't know how to say it. And it always, like, and now when I read the Proverbs, I got like, I know exactly what it means now. Like, how do you explain to somebody, the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence? I know what it means, but it means the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Like, people who don't follow the Lord, they're violent with their words. They're aggressive. They chase people away with their I'm not explaining it good, but I know what it means. You with me, guys? Exactly. Like New Yorkers. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Oh, that's an easy one. If there is no, what is it, in this day and age, if there's no filter between here and here, what's going to happen? But if you can filter from here to here, man, you'll preserve your life. That's an easy one. Right? It's better, what? Get in the back of the line. You know, the Bible says over and over again in so many different places about in much words is much sin. I've told you guys the first time I ever heard the Holy Spirit speak. I'm not kidding. I was probably a year in the Lord, and I was having a conversation with all these guys, and I so wanted to interject into the conversation, and the Holy Spirit was just like, I want you to shut up. Like, yeah, but 2 ears, one mouth. Use these. And I remember walking away and the feeling of obedience, whereas my flesh had so much to say. I had such an opinion on the conversation. There's so much I wanted to. But saying nothing somehow made my spirit feel conjoined to the Lord more than saying something. Another thing that I wish I could explain to you guys in a way, but sometimes saying nothing, you've said more than you ever need to. Mm-hmm. Next. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now, I want you to see the two words there that are super important, and it's the word soul twice. It's not your pocket. It's not your house. It's your soul. Lazy people only want. But because they're lazy, They have nothing. Their soul has nothing. They're unsatisfied in their soul. But people who work hard, you guys have heard me tell the story about my Sundays. Get up Sunday morning at about 6:30, 6 o'clock sometimes, spend some time in prayer, spend some time in the Word. Come, I take my daughters and usually Austin and my grandchildren. We meet for breakfast right over here at Bronx Bagel. We eat breakfast. We come over here. I preach the Word. We go to lunch. Me and my wife go to lunch afterward. After that, I go home, try to get a nap in. I'm at the beach by 6 o'clock. I'm preaching. I get home. It's usually about 8 o'clock. I go in the gym. I hit a few reps just to keep going. And you know what happens when I lay down? My soul is so satisfied. Not just that my body's tired, but my soul says, this is how it's supposed to be. Like the Lord, He spent Himself every single day. He spent everything He had. At the end of the day, the man slept well. Because he spent his life. Gets a phone call in the middle of the day. No problem. Hold on. I got that. No. Hey, you got him into. Hold on. Hold. At no point in time did the Lord ever. Oh, man, I'm just. Man, why do people call me? No. We as Christians accept that responsibility. We should have somebody we can call ourselves, as well as have somebody that we should be somebody to call. Remember, I told that story about Jordan Peterson? Jordan Peterson has this amazing lecture about being the most important person at the funeral. And the good people in this world, and he didn't know he was talking about Christianity, but Christian people in this world, they want to be the most important person at the funeral. You don't want to be just another person at the funeral. You want to be the most important person at the funeral. The person, you don't want to be the person in the casket. You want to be the person at the funeral. People can talk. Man, what about, man? Because the first thing that happens when you're my age, let me tell you what happens when you're at my age. You go to a funeral, and you, if it's an open casket, you go in there, and the first thing you do is you want to look at his birth year. I still got a few years left. And if he's younger than you, you're filled with like, oh, my goodness. And that could be me. It's the craziest thing. The young people, they don't get that joke, but believe me when I tell you, every person in their 50s, first thing that happens, you go to a funeral. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Well, what does that say about the wicked man? He's a liar. The Bible says that liars go to hell. Pastor Jim, every time we're teasing each other, he'll tell me some funny thing. I'll go, you're lying. And he'll look at me and he'll go, you know, liars go to hell. And stop lying. It's a joke we play with each other. You guys, okay? You guys are serious tonight. This is, you got to light heart this stuff, because otherwise, I told you, every single verse in here is going to hit you right square in the eyes. Receive something here. Don't reject it. Because what happens is when you, yeah, now, none of my kids ever do this. Guys back there, none of my kids ever do this. But if you ever correct a child, you have two kinds of child, children's. You have two kinds of chitlins. One you correct and they completely break down, and one you correct and they completely reject what you're doing. Arlie, not that my kids ever did this, but Arlie was a kid, you never had to spank her because all you had to do is tell her what she did wrong. God's mad at me. No, God's not mad at you. It's okay. And then I had another child, who I'm going to nameless because she's not here. I don't want to talk about people that aren't here. Ashlyn, you can beat that kid with sticks and stones. You could shoot her in the foot with an AR. She wasn't changing nothing, day and night. Like, and what happened is it would make my other kids mad because how come Ashlyn gets away with so much? And we'd be, have to explain to them, we can't beat her. Every day, all day. She got away with so much because she did so much. Did you do that, Ashlyn? I can see it in your eyes. You're lying to me. You did that, didn't you? You know that's a spanking, right? I can get into that story, but righteous man hates lying, but the wicked is loathsome and comes to shame. Hating lying. One of the most important things as a young Christian is to learn how to hate your sin. Hey guys, listen. I know this is going to sound crazy, but sin is good. It feels good. We like our sins. We hold them very close. We put them in our pocket. We rub them around our heart. We put them in our ears and put them in our eyes. Sin is fun. The first thing you need to do as a Christian learning to repent is to hate your sin. But I really like that. Learn to hate it. But I really like it. It's not good for you. It's like the bars on a bird's cage. They're there for a reason. But all that freedom out there, why can't I just do what I want? Because there's a cat out there. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And outside the bars of the cage of your sin is death and destruction. Her feet lay hold of hell, the Bible says. Learning how to hate your sin. A righteous man, I want to add parenthetically, just adding my own commentary, not trying to read the word differently than it states, just adding some imagination. A righteous man learns how to hate lying, but a wicked man don't care one bit if he lies. I told you that story. I don't know, is you or the men of the church. I don't remember where I taught. Met this dude who told me all these stories about wrestling. Oh, he used to train with Cale Sanderson. He used to do, were you here when it was a men's meeting?
Yeah,
ladies, I told the story. This guy shows up at my warehouse one day, and he's telling me all these stories about all these places he's been and people he's wrestled with. Oh, he was a national champion, and he left college for 10 years, and then went back to 10 years, and he wrestled with this. And I was like, I was blown away. I was like, oh my goodness, really? Tell me more. And he's telling me all these. And as soon as he left, I put his name in the computer. It was all a lie. It was like all a lie. And he wasn't like embarrassed at all. These things overtake you at some point in time. When you becoming, you know, there's being a BS artist and then like becoming a BS artist. It's the weirdest thing. The guy was, and like I called the guy that brought him and I said, Phil, this dude you introduced me to, he told me all these things, all of them were lies. He was like, really? I'm like, every one of them. He never even wrestled at that school. I don't know. It's like bizarro. Like, if you're gonna lie to me, at least tell me a lie that I'm never gonna find out. Remember what I said, guys. Sometimes it's just the word hits you square in the face. If I'm talking about you or to you, it's okay. Nobody told me. Verse 7, there is one who makes himself rich yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor yet has great riches. Now that's what they said about the Lord. He gave it all away and made himself rich. Now, perfect opportunity to talk about tithing. I'm going to only say, the more you give away, the more God gives you back. The Bible says that God is a debtor to no man. In multiple years, in charge of a $300,000 budget at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, for more than 2 years, in charge of the benevolent ministry, three people showed up to church and asked for money that were faithful tithers, three. And that was a daily, every single day, multiple people. Hey, could I borrow money from church? And I get on the phone and I talk to bookie. I say, hey, can you look up the tithe report for so-and-so, so-and-so? Now, they wouldn't tell me the amount, but they would tell me whether they were faithful. Nope, nothing. You know why you're broke, right? Because you don't tithe. You got to sanctify your money. Whatever God gives you, give back 10%. Well, is that gross or net? Like, start anywhere you want. Yeah, you can tithe God or you can tip God. That's up to you. Start somewhere. Anywhere you want. All right, or you'll get these people. Well, I give cash. They don't record it. Well, that's pretty stupid. Why? Because we live in a government that'll give you back money. You get a tax deduction for tithing. Well, I don't want nothing from God. You know, the verse right before stands just for you. Wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. What do you say, Austin? No. The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke. I love this verse because what it does, it talks about the condition of people's heart without explaining it. And without explaining, a lot of people miss this. The ransom of a man's life is his riches. Do you know what keeps so many people out of heaven? Their money. They don't need God. You ever hear the old saying, sometimes you don't realize that God's all you need until God's all you got? But the people that have money never realize that God's all they need because God's never all they got. What's the ransom of some people's life? Their money. Take away their money and they'll fall on their knees before God. You see how this works? But look, but the alternative or the accentuation, which is the opposite but the same, is, but poor people are so stupid and so stubborn, they don't listen to nothing. We used to have this ministry. We used to go to the homeless in Fort Lauderdale, and we used to look for somebody to put in a program. Calvary Chapel used to have this program. I don't know if they still have it. They still have the men's discipleship program, yeah. Calvary House. Yes. Calvary House is still there. So what we used to do is we used to go on the street and look for homeless people. Hey, they'd be drunk. They'd be, hey, man, we want to get you off the street. We want to push you. What do I got to do? Well, look, man, you get 3 squares. But you work, I'll give you a place to stay. Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. You like being on the street? I mean, smelling like a billy goat, dressed in tatters? I mean, this is my life. You know how many people who came up, the benevolence ministry? Homeless people? I just need a meal. Listen, some people, when you seem sharp, you seem smart. Man, let me get you out of the street. We got a program up in Maine. Man, you'll love it. No. You see how this verse, maybe some of you got this verse, but do you see what this verse actually means? The ransom of a man's life is his riches. What he has in his pocket is his ransom. Take away that money and he'll come to the Lord. But poor people, some of them are so stupid. They don't listen to nothing. You see how it kind of complements yet is the opposite on both sides? Interesting. I love the Proverbs. I hope you're getting as much as I love this stuff. This stuff is my jam. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. There are some people that light up a room when they walk in because the spirit is all over them. I agree, Drew. Arlie's like that. When Arlie walks in, no PDAs. When Arlie walks in, the Holy Spirit just, you know who's like that? Your wife Jackie's like that. She fires up the room with her spirit, man, you know what I'm saying? But the lamp of the wicked will be put out. What does that mean, the lamp of the wicked will be put out? Excellent. Yes. There won't be anything for them. As a matter of fact, I love the way the Lord put it. He says, Even what they have will be taken away. Mm-hmm. There you go. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And there's also, you know what? And I like the as a commentary on that too, because what should you do if you have the light of the Lord in you? You should let it shine. Let it go. Man, look to turn a room on. Don't be the one that has all the stats on basketball, football, or whatever sport. Man, be the one that brings the conversation back to the Lord. I like that. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. I love this, the way he does this here. What's the opposite of prideful people? Well-advised people. Prideful people, you can't tell them, I know. So here, what he's doing is describing the opposite of prideful people. So he says, by pride comes nothing but strife. If you guys know, strife is arguing. I know. You can't talk to people like that. Everything's an argument. My brother, I had an older brother. God rest his soul. He lived for an argument. That's all he wanted to do. He just, if you voted for Bush, he wanted to argue why you voted. If you voted for, it didn't matter. He was the epitome of the devil's advocate. He was taking the out just to argue. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Well-advised people aren't prideful people. They're not prideful. They listen. They don't talk about themselves. Well, you know what? Me, you know what I did, you know how I... By pride, nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You see, and when you look at it like that, you don't realize how the same verse, rarely do they not mean something to each other. And that's where you got to dig a little bit. Please remember that the Word of God, it's like a mine. You got to cut some layers sometimes. Sometimes you got to pray it through. You got to dig to get the nugget out. Is anybody learning anything tonight, or do you guys all know these verses? Okay, so you're getting some of this stuff. Good. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. I mean, is that simple? Anybody want to take a stab at that one? Joe? Mm-hmm. But... Now, is that a spiritual, is that a practical, or is that emotional? Because I noticed that rich people who made their money the easy way, it's never enough. It's just never enough.
When you sweat it for that dollar and really work for you,
it has more value. You look at that TV that you paid $400 and some odd for, and you know that was a week's salary. Man, you take care of that thing if you're smart. Don't overwork to be rich, for riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away like an eagle to heaven. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Listen, guys, verse 12 is a life changer. When you get the depth of the meaning of this verse, it will change your life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I really want this job. I really want this job. I really want this job. They gave the job to somebody else. That's hope deferred. I really want that girl. I'm telling you, she's perfect for me. She's perfect for me. She's marrying somebody else. Hope deferred. It makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. I just saw another job in the paper. I don't have a paper anymore, right? It's the last time I looked for a job, right? Let me tell you, I was 13 years old. I was the star baseball player ever since I was 6, 7, 8 years old. My whole life, all my father did was hit us fly balls, throw us ground balls, throw us pitching. That's all we did. My father was a AAA baseball. 7 years old, we're in baseball camp. 8 years old, we're in, every year, baseball. I was 13 years old, and I hadn't gone through my growth spurt. I was very small for my age. I tried out for this team. I half-butted it. I make every team. I got cut from the team. I was blown away. I mean, my father, he went up and talked. And my father's like, my kid's a star baseball player everywhere. What are you talking about? And the coach said to him, he's the last one on the field and the first one off the field. He said, the kid shows up late to every practice. Who cares if he's terrible for the team. I don't want a kid like that on my team. He said, I'm being honest with you, Ron. And my father came back and he was like, now I tried out for the same team the next year. You know how I tried out? Charlie Hustle called me. Charlie Hustle. And the coach was like, look, I don't know what you did over the past year, but keep doing it because this is the ball player I wanted. I'll never forget that. You understand? Desire. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, I was sick that I got cut from that team. Think about your life. What hope got deferred, cut off, shot down? I really wanted that house. That was the house I really wanted. Hey, I heard about another house. Another one? Let's get out there now. I told you don't wait on this one. Right now, you like the house, put an offer in. Oh, well, I want to look at a couple. You guys with me? It's a life-changing verse when you wrap your head around it. It'll stop a lot of depression. But he who despises the word, I'm sorry, not but, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. And yeah, that's an easy one. Anybody want to hit that one? Amen to that. It's 12 times in the Bible. If you hate the word of God, I'm sorry. I don't care how much money you are. I don't care how healthy you are. I don't care what kind of athlete. You hate God's word, you will be destroyed. But he who fears the commandment, he who is worried about disrespecting God, you'll be rewarded. Now, I love the way he puts that there. He puts that there almost the opposite as it should sound. And it's interesting. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Yes, my love. What version is that? NESB? That's a good word. You'd be indebted to it. You see, your fear or your missing out. The Bible says you should not fornicate. Fornication is sex before marriage. But that's a tough one, Ryan. You see, here's why. But if you are afraid of doing that because it's against the word of God and you obey that, he's saying everything you're missing out will be rewarded later. Yeah, you might not have some fun now, but later on. And you could apply any sin to that. It's not just a sex thing. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Now, commandment, law, word, all these things, all are the same thing, guys. The Bible. It's all God's word. When it says the commandment, it means the Bible. When it says the law, it means the Bible. When it says the word, it means the Bible. So he's, and I love the interchanging of the usage of these things because it does give an added level of, thought behind it, I guess. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Yeah, that's the problem with the Bible, man. You know, every time I go to church, the guy wants to mess with my money, he wants to mess with my sex, he wants to mess with my sleep, everything. You know what? I'm just not interested. Yeah, but I'm just trying to turn you away from the snares of death. Isn't there another way? Same question that the Lord Jesus asked God. If there's any other way. But here's the difference. The Lord Jesus said this. What did he say? Nevertheless, not as I, but as thou will. Right? Continuing. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. I love verse 15. I love every one of them, but listen. When you understand a situation, it's like having the favor of God upon you. Like, I used to have this guy that worked for me, and I used to say him all the time, listen, stop telling everybody what you're thinking. And he'd go, what do you mean? I'm like, listen, you, every time you get into a discussion, you're telling everybody what you're feeling. When you're upset, everybody knows you're upset. When you're happy, everyone knows you're happy. Why don't you do yourself a favor? Why don't you keep your emotions with a cap on them? You'll understand more situations, and you'll gain more favor. You guys understand that? But the way of the unfaithful is hard. It's like, you guys remember that movie, The Help? Ain't you tired? Man, being wicked is hard work. I think I told that story. I used to have this dude. He used to say, you know, Ryan, we spend so much of our time to do things that are illegal, trying to find ways to scam the system, to skim the money. If we put the same energy into doing the right thing, we'd probably be rich. Yeah, but I hate waking up early in the morning. That was our excuse for everything. Yeah, but we hate waking up early in the morning. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. You see what I was talking about in verse 16? And this is why these are such coinciding verses. Like, you know what really makes you a fool? You let everybody know what you're thinking. You just can't shut that yapper, can you? Just once in a while, just try not saying it. Goes back to verse 1, right? Goes right back to verse 1. That wasn't verse 1, was it? It's verse 2. Eating well by the fruit of your eyes. Do yourself a favor. Stop talking. Because a fool just lays open his folly. You ever meet somebody who thinks they know everything about a subject and they don't know anything about the subject? And you just sit there and you're like, dude, I can't wait for this person to just grow up just a little bit. Like, my son has been working with me in Austin now for the last couple of years. And we watched him grow and learn. And just to see the amount he talks is so much less. But the amount of work he gets done is so much more now. He's embraced more of the work he's supposed to be doing and less of telling us what we, you know what, I got it better. Me and son's like, you know what you say? You handle it. Let us know how it works out. And now, after a couple years, he's just gets into work, takes care of his business, and leaves. Less talk, more rock. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Anybody want to take a stab at that one? That's an interesting one. I used to have this kid. He was like a son to me. As a matter of fact, when my daughters were all babies, when Elena was just 5 or 6 years old and Ashlyn was 3 or 4 and Arlie was just a baby, he would come over to my house and he'd read them books. We'd give him these books and he'd read it. His name was Danny Boy. Danny Boy, he had Thug Life tattooed on his hands. He grew up in, right off of Powerline and Copens, there's a trailer park over there. No clue who his father was. His mother was kind of, you know, the trailer park tramp. And he's just so hungry to have somebody to love him. And he used to come over our house, and we used to talk to him. He came to church and got saved, but it was just hard for him because there's no foundation for him. His favorite pastime, Danny's, was starting fights with people. So he would come to me and he would say, hey, you know, Dave Garlick said to me the other day that he's sick and tired of working for you and that he wishes that you would just drop dead. I was like, Dave said that to you? So, man, what? And back then, there was no cell phones, guys. So like, man, where do I see this guy tomorrow? So I get there. I was like, Dave, why'd you say that? You know, what are you talking about? And then you'd see him, Danny Boy, about. You wicked messenger. You wicked messenger. Now, some people take a little bit of what they hear, a little bit of what's said, and they expound on it. The crazy thing about our world today, guys, is we have two different kinds of people in the world. Actually, we have a few different kinds, but one of the kinds of people are people who just want to see it all blow up. They're not looking to make things better. At least some of the people, even though they got the wrong idea, well, socialism, in theory, is a great idea. It's a great idea. Socialism is a great idea. Everybody will have their own. Everybody will have enough to eat. Everybody will have a place to live. It's not reality. It doesn't work. Sorry. Socialism maybe is what they have in heaven under God's provision. Maybe. They ain't going to have it here. It don't work here. Socialism always and every single time will turn into tyranny. Every time. But some people's hearts in the right place. Some people, they just want to ignite the world on fire and watch it burn. And that's just it. Wicked messengers. You understand this now? A wicked messenger will fall into trouble. A faithful ambassador, though, he brings health. One time, I was at the gym, and I mentioned my friend Steve Williams. He came to church a couple weeks ago. We were in a circle. He was in there. And Steve Williams was a high-level collegiate wrestler. He actually wrestled in Olympic trials. And he was an Olympic alternative. And one time, this person that was in the gym told me that, oh, they wrestled in the Olympics, and they were on the, oh, really? I had a friend of mine, Steve Williams, he wrestled in the Olympic trials. Steve Williams, he never wrestled in the Olympic trials. I was like, really? He told me he wrestled in the Olympic trials. I didn't go back and tell Steve he said that. As a matter of fact, about a year and a half later, Steve Williams came to the gym, and this person walked up to me and goes, hey, remember that thing I said about Steve Williams? And I looked at him and I go, no. And he looked at me and he's like, thanks, man. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, thanks. You could be a part of a situation that ignites it, or you could diffuse it. Man, maybe the guy had a beef with him at one point. I don't know what his trip was with Steve. But you know what I wasn't going to do? I wasn't getting involved in making things worse. You know what? Trowel it over. Just trowel it over. That's a faithful ambassador of Christ. Exactly. Continuing. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Oh, come on, that's an easy one. Somebody grab that one. Tell me. When you could have somebody, you know what my father used to always say to me? He used to always say to me, Ryan, it's not what you say. Is how you say it. People will receive if you say it better. But you know what I found the real talent is? Learning to receive no matter how they say it. There's a great story in the Bible about David. Some guy was cussing David out. His name was Shimei. He cussed him and he called him names and he said something. And at some point in time, one of David's guys, one of the sons of Zariah, you'll love that. And as you read the Old Testament, you'll learn about the sons of Zariah.
David still had him killed on his deathbed.
That was a different reason, though. So he says, he takes his sword and goes, let me cut this man's head off. And he goes, no. He said, maybe this is from the Lord. Maybe God's going to look at his cursing today and bless me for it. Maybe he's got something to say to me that I should listen to. Even now, I'm paraphrasing my own a commentary on it, but maybe the person that says something to you and he says it in a way you don't like, maybe there's still something for it in you. Maybe forget about the way he said it. Maybe he grew up like that. Maybe he was in a house that people didn't say things right. Maybe he couldn't communicate. The real talent is being able, what did the Lord Jesus say? Be careful how you hear. The real talent is not in watching what you say, it's watching how you hear. How you take it. Continuing. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Every single January, we get in our church what's called the New Year's bump. Count on it. The second, third, fourth, and first week of February, the church is packed up. Because everybody sets their New Year's goal. This year I'm going to church every week. Every week I'm going to church this year. So what happens? I went to John Adams High School, Queens, New York, Ozone Park. I got into high school, and my brother was 2 years older than me, so my brother was a sophomore. I'm sorry, he was a junior when I was a freshman. And my brother's one of the tough kids in school, so, you know, I was mouthy and blah, blah, blah. Not a good kid. I learned how to cut out of school because my brother taught me. I learned how to avoid my classes. And I also learned that my father was never going to kill me. He could beat me, but he wasn't going to kill me. And at a certain amount of times you get beat up, who really cares? It's like my brother Eric says, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. My father and my brother made me tough. So I'd cut out. I did not like math. Still don't. That's why I have a calculator. I went to algebra day one and never have gone back. Not once, never ever have I gone to another math class. Algebra one. That was it. I was like, X equals Y, what? Bye. My father would beat me. My mother would hit me with things. I'm not going. I don't like it. It hurts my brain. So for my stubbornness, you know what I got? You know what I got? I was a senior in high school, and I got called to the counselor's office, and the counselor said to me, the dean, I believe he was, said, well, Mr. Gitman, you will not be graduating. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, Ryan, if you pass every class this year, you're 3 credits shy. I'm like, what are you talking about? I hated school. By the time 11th and 12th, I hated school. I hated school so much. I was getting straight A's. I was 85. We didn't have letters in my school. It was numbers. I was 80, 85, 90s in all my classes. I got to get out of here. Dean said, you're not graduating. But look at my grades. Ryan, you didn't go to school as a freshman and a sophomore. So I did. They had something called the co-op program. And I would go to school for 1 week, and then I would go to work for the next week. I'd go to school for 1 week, go to work. And that's how I got 6 credits. I actually graduated high school 6 months late. Instead of June of 83, I graduated in January of 84. That's your pastor. There you go. But you want to know what happened? I was 18 years old. I went up to school. I'll never forget this. It was snowing. I went into the office. I said, here you go, Ryan. It's my high school diploma. I remember looking at this thing. I remember walking down the steps at school. The snow was falling, and I was like this. I graduated high school. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Do you understand? You know what the problem with my brother was? No victories. In his life, there was no victories. He graduated high school, but never graduated. My brother had contracts to offers to play ball. My brother was an amazing ball player. Listen, I got the shallow end of the gene pool. My brother is 17 years old, was 6'1", 200 pounds, cut from, he was a pure athlete. He could have done anything, but you know what he did? You know what my brother's accomplishment was? His nickname was Leather Lungs. He could take the biggest hit on a joint and not cough. But a desire accomplished. You young people in here, man. Let me tell you something. First class of jiu-jitsu, 40 years old. 40 years old, my first class. I got my black belt 9 years later. Man, I got my black belt. Start something, finish it. Because every accomplishment, every goal you set, December rolls around, make your commitments and keep them. It was Tyrone Spong, world famous kickboxer. He used to come to church. You sit there every week. I don't know, after COVID we lost him, but. He told me something interesting. He said, Ryan, the most important commitments you keep are the ones you make with yourself. I remember when he said that, I was like, Tyrone, that's freaking great. I love that. Because I'm telling you, it's okay to break your promises to other people, but if you can't keep your promises to yourself, you can't keep anything. I was like, man, that's good stuff, Ty. Where'd you get that from? Good. Continuing. Verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Mickey? Yes, I saw that. You know what that's called? There's an old saying for that. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Psalm 1. Isn't that crazy? Did you hear what she said, guys? Who's fighting the abortion law? The Church of Satan. Like, maybe we're on the wrong team here. No, they don't get it. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Yeah, and obviously you guys know that that's all throughout the Bible. You'll see that verse reiterated in the book of Proverbs. It says that, Romans. Anybody remember the verse in Romans? Bad company corrupts good morals. Evil, verse 21, pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. You got to love the verbiage here. You got to love the way this flows. Evil pursues sinners. Here, sinner being the person who doesn't want to repent, it's just so crazy that when you're wicked, evil seems to pursue you. But to the righteous, your reward will be good. Good will be repaid. You see how the wages of sin is death? Go ahead, bro. Another one of Jordan Peterson's, the first time that I really got hooked on Jordan Peterson is he did this, a lecture. People who succeed, imagine their existential fear one step in back of them. People who succeed visualize the worst thing that could ever happen to them being right in back of them. And that they use to drive themselves forward. I can't fail this. I cannot. Why? What's waiting back there for me? You guys ask me why. Listen, I was just thinking about this during worship time. We've been doing this now, this church thing, almost 16 years. We've had no scandals. Zero. Nothing. I've not been accused of doing anything that you would consider to be disqualifying. You know why? I don't go nowhere near it. I know what's waiting one step behind me. It's my wife with a shotgun. You know what? That's great. You see what Eric said? We're all sinners. So evil is pursuing all of us. That's a good word. I never even thought of that aspect of it, right? Continuing. Almost done, guys. Almost done. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So you guys wondered where I've been the last 2 weeks. Well, me and my wife, we went up to Georgia. We bought land. We had a bunch of money saved up that we've been saving our whole lives, and we bought like 140 acres in Georgia. We closed on it, right? It's raw land. There's nothing on it. It's not like, because a bunch of you guys, oh, is that where you're going to be moving? No, we're not moving anywhere. We bought it, and the second we came home, we told our children, man, go get a flag, go up there and pick your property, because that's your inheritance. We're going to spend everything we have here on earth. Me and my wife, we're holding nothing back. But they got that land. It's yours now. Do whatever you want with it. Because we read this, me and my wife, a good man, a good woman, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Here's your inheritance. There it is. There's a lot of other things we could have done with the money. Yes?
One of the other things you need is moral stability.
Mm-hmm. Good word.
Besides the riches.
Surely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you guys heard me tell that story a dozen times. I'll never forget. A buddy of mine who was a pastor, he's an older guy, he said to me, he said, you know, my father, he taught me how to live and he taught me how to die. He sat around, his four sons around him, and he told them before he went to heaven, he said, man, this is my all, love God. And this guy came back and said, my father died right in front of me. My father was a man. He taught me how to live and he taught me how to die. That's what I wanted. That's all I want to do. I want to die with my son and my son-in-law's around me. I want to say, love God. I don't want him to be shamed. I don't know. You know? Think about the pastors that have fallen. I mean, goodness, guys. Do you know how much I learned from Pastor Bob? 15 years of sitting under that man's ministry. So many years after. Why does it... I got a stack of tapes you guys can buy for really cheap right now. I ain't gonna say about me. Right now, Chuck Missler, Chuck Smith, man, you find a tape. Thank God for YouTube, man. Hebrews chapter 11, Chuck Missler. Nobody's looking up James McDonald. Oh, that's the guy that got stuck in gambling and was flying around the world. Yeah, no, I don't want to listen to his stuff. Oh, but it was such good stuff. Yeah, but he didn't finish well, and you never know when they went bad. You guys understand? Exactly. It's tainted. His legacy is gone. Verse 23. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste. Oh, man. Why is the ground of your heart going to waste? Because you can't shut up and listen. Like, shut up. You're wrong. Listen, you've been doing things wrong. Stop it now. Listen. No, fallow ground. It's hard. You can't break it up. It doesn't. You keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Stop! Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. And for lack of justice, there's waste. When you listen, you learn. Last two. And this one we could, again, remember, every one of these is a whole hour-long Bible study. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I know this is going to throw a monkey wrench into a lot of you sisters' lives, but when your father gets home, what? You're going to wait till the whole thing's blown over, everything's calmed down, and then you're going to have your husband spank the kid?
Make me the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Make him the bad guy? Man, the kid does something wrong. Lovingly discipline him. Don't abuse him. Now, problem is, if you grew up, especially if you grew up in the 70s and 80s, when getting spanked was your father hitting you. You know, you Southerners got a switch. I got a switch. You go pick your switch off the tree. I'm going to spank you with that switch. Right? In my house, it was a backhand with my father's ring. My father used to have a ring. It was on his pinky. It was a four-letter word. And if you got cracked with that four-letter word, you would say that four-letter word. Because my father was the king of backhands. I'm sorry, what's your... Bah! Did you say something? And you look back at it, like we grew up... This is so crazy. How many of you guys had parents that smacked you across the face? Like, how do you smack your kid across the face? I've never smacked any of my kids across the face. That's like the most horrible thing. Why would you smack a kid in the face? What, the butt's only a few inches away. How would you humiliate? You guys get this? Like, what was wrong with our generation? How could you smack a kid in the face? Well, they really deserved it. Well, we all deserve it. I hope this makes sense. Man, a kid needs a spanking. Take him aside. Explain to him what he did wrong. Spank him and then love him. Okay? Don't you want him around when he gets older? Don't you want him? Oscar?
Now it's the old generation.
Right. Did you same way you grew up?
My son, I never touched him.
You never touched your son either?
It was just a look from his mom.
Oh, guys, it's so scary. Here's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Promptly, you could also talk about early. So correcting them when they're young, when the problems are small. Because if I tell you, in 20 years in ministry, how many parents we've sat and said, listen, you're headed for big problems with this kid. Here's what we're seeing with your kid. And how dare you do? Okay. And you get that. Your parents, they bring their kids here, and you're like, your kid's a problem, man. And let me think, right now, not every time, obviously, but 90% of the time, the same kid that's running around here at 3 years old is going to be the same kid that's running here at 23 years old doing the same thing except adult problems. If you're a parent here, especially if you're a single parent, man, talk to some people about your kid. Say, hey, take somebody you trust. Say, what do you see in my kid? You seeing anything that you think I should address? Don't be prideful with your kid as you're prideful with yourself. Ask somebody, man, what do you see? Like, if your kid is dressing at 13, 14 years old, like they should be on a street corner, what do you think they're going to do when they're 15, 16? When your kid is, excuse me, but when your kid's knocked up at 15 because you didn't pay attention to how they dressed at 12, 13, come on. Be careful. You don't want that to happen. It's just a tough life. And I'm speaking as somebody who was in that place. Last verse. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. Great verse. It's an amazing thing when you earn your money. It accentuates that other verse we looked at. When you earn your money and you go out and you get a meal, it's satisfying. Whether it's McDonald's or Ruth Chris Steakhouse. You save your money and you went and ate. Man, there's something satisfying about it. But you know what? When you got nothing but money and you don't care about it, if you're not... One time I was in I was in Generino's office. And Generino had this, he had a box of potato chips. And he said to me, "You want a bag of potato chips?" I said, "Yeah, sure, thank you." I opened it up. And I remember saying to myself, I'm in a pastor's office eating potato chips with him. And I was just like, this is so cool what my life's turned into. You know what I mean? I just remember thanking God. And he looked at me and he goes, "Did you pray before you ate that chip?" And I said, "Pastor, I pray before any, I'm blown. I look at the odometer in my car and it passes 10,000 miles and I'm just like, thank you, God. I fill up my gas tank. I know what it's like to put $2.73 in my gas tank. The fact that I have a credit card now and I fill it, I don't go to fill that thing. I fill up my car when it's only halfway full now. And I'm so grateful, so grateful. But the people that don't care, it's never enough. It's never enough. Remind me. That is a great correlating verse. Did you guys hear that? So those who drink from this well will thirst no more, but the righteous eat to the satisfying. That's a beautiful, that's a well put together, girl. Good for you. Amen. So, good words tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wisdom of your word, and we ask you please to change us to look more like you. We cry out like David, whose father wrote the very words we read. We will not be satisfied until we awaken your likeness. Thank you, God, for the good spanking you gave us and the correction tonight of your word. We receive it because we want to grow and we want to learn. And we don't want to be like the wicked man who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looked like. We want to look into the law of kindness and see and be seen face to face by you as we are seen. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word and the opportunity to change by your word. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.